Child protection in the Northern Territory is in crisis. This week, Chief Minister Michael Gunner put the issue at the centre of his government by making himself Minister for Children in a cabinet reshuffle. He spent the day in Tennant Creek, where the community is still reeling from the rape of a two-year-old girl and also an additional 15 children being removed from their families by child protection workers. Chief Minister of the Northern Territory, Michael Gunner, welcome to RN Drive.
Hi.
You've been in Tennant Creek today. The problems the community there is facing are not new. What needs to change?
We have to have a massive and significant investment in our children. We know that the best way we can ensure that no child ends up in youth justice is to have an early investment around the family, around the parents. We're doing that with family nurse partnerships, at first teacher programs we do, all about getting involved with the kid before and the family before things go off the rails, unfortunately. This investment's been, I think, lacking generationally in the territory. It's one that we are making.
Since the rape of the two-year-old girl in Tennant Creek in February, 15 other children have been removed from their families by child protection workers. What are you hearing from the Tennant Creek community about the best way forward?
So I've met with the Council of Elders here, the Cultural Authority Group. They're still looking for the permanent name that they're going to have, but this is essentially the traditional owners and cultural elders in Tennant Creek about the best way forward. We've listened to them about the extra resources they want in town. A lot of it's around nurses, children nurses, family nurses, more territory family workers. We've put those support structures in place to help them out in their leadership capacity. One of the lessons out of the awful incident that occurred earlier this year was that information wasn't being shared the right way to be able to make the best decisions in the interest of the child. Information is now being shared, and we are making decisions that are about making sure children are always safe. It should be a right, it should have been an absolute right that children are safe.
Okay, so lack of information sharing. How much do the problems we're seeing in Tennant Creek represent failings of government?
I think a lot, and it's not just Tennant Creek. I think as a territory, we've had significant problems for decades now. Not breaking news, unfortunately. The story of the two-year-old is not a tragic rarity. We had a Royal Commission into this space. It literally had just handed down its report when we had the incident with the two-year-old. And as the Royal Commission themselves noted, there have been 50 previous inquiries into this issue in the Territory. I'm determined that our response won't be evaporative. It has to be permanent, sustainable, ongoing and meaningful. It can't be a six-month reaction and we all sort of wander off. We have to have long-term, sustained investment into our children, and we will absolutely do that.
So you've become Minister for Children. Is that an acknowledgement that you believed the children's portfolio was being mismanaged?
For me, it's an acknowledgement that to be able to do the best thing by our kids, it's not one minister. So it's not just the Health Minister or the Education Minister or the Territory Families Minister or the Housing Minister or the Police Minister. It requires a one government response. There can be no silos. We'll crash through the silos. The best person to do that is the First Minister and the Chief Minister. We've got to get everyone together on the same page, in the same direction, and you can't have a health response or an education response. You've got to have a one government response, one government working with families. Because the other thing is that government can't be in that lounge room or that bedroom at 2 a.m. We require strong community leadership. We can't do it alone. So as the Chief Minister, establishing those relationships, empowering locals, making sure there's local decision-making, making sure we are actually working and walking together is crucial. And I'm going to set that standard as the Chief Minister, take on the issue from the front.
Now, Michael Gunner, right now in the Northern Territory, 100% of children in detention are Indigenous. It's an astonishing and horrifying statistic.
Appalling.
Do you accept that the youth justice system in the NT is totally broken?
Yeah, we've said that repeatedly. The Royal Commission handed down a roadmap for how to get out of this. This is at the acute end. We've accepted those recommendations. We've put an extra $229 million in over the next 5 years in responding to those recommendations, as well as changing how we do things within our existing investment as well to try and get out of this space. When a kid goes into youth justice, we've got to break the cycle. But just as importantly, we've put a lot more money into the earlier end to make sure they don't end up there in the first place. We've got to do everything we can to intervene earlier and make sure no kid ends up in youth justice. That's what we want. You know, let's stop the crime before it occurs rather than try and break the cycle afterwards. So we're going to put a lot of money and effort and resources into this. We can't do it alone. We've got to do it with the community. We've also got to empower local leaders and make sure that they're in charge of their own destiny and they're in charge of their decision making.
In the NT and all over Australia, Indigenous incarceration is a pressing issue. It's not a new issue, though, especially in the Northern Territory. Why haven't we seen any progress so far? You kind of have this revolving door of NT governments of all different political persuasions. Nothing seems to change.
I think this is, I can talk about this in territory context, but I think this is an Australian issue and an international issue. We keep providing short-term responses or responses at the acute end. We've got to actually respond much earlier in the picture. That's what I keep talking about our kids. If we want to have a territory in 20 years' time where a chief minister can proudly say that we've made a difference, it requires investing in kids now. We have to invest in our kids now, in the first 1,000 days now. That's all the advice I receive from all the experts in this space, all the Indigenous groups I work with, is here's some things you can do at the acute end. You can't ignore it. You've got to work on it. But if you actually genuinely want to see long-term meaningful change, you just got to invest in the kids.
Now, the Northern Territory government has announced its first cabinet reshuffle since you came into power 2 years ago. You've created a new role for yourself as Minister for Treaty. It follows the recent signing of a Memorandum of Understanding at Barunga for a Northern Territory treaty between the Indigenous people of the Northern Territory and the Territory. How do you plan to push that process forward as Minister for Treaty?
So we've signed up to a Memorandum of Understanding with the four land councils. That's got a bit of a timeline and work plan to it. We're going to announce a treaty commissioner really soon, independent treaty commissioner, who will have a timeline around research of the kind of treaty founding principles we want for a treaty in the NT, and then a period of negotiation about how we put those into law, say, or into effect. And from that, that then becomes the platform for negotiating treaties. So we think around, you know, dry season, or mid-year 2020 is when we'll have that ready to go. And I think we could probably advance on treaties quite quickly after that. And I think it's more likely to be treaties rather than one treaty. There's lots of different...
Really? With the individual groups in the Northern Territory? Nations in the Northern Territory?
Yes.
Very interesting. So, which is a different model, I believe, from other places around the country.
Well, I think it's respectful of the fact that Aboriginal people don't always speak with one voice, and they've got different needs and aspirations. And so Ndiliyarkwa Land Council, which is Groote Eylandt, for example, we're about to sign a local decision-making contract with them, which I think will become the heart of a future treaty, which goes to the resources and response, the decisions they want to take on. So they want to run their own school, which is fantastic. I've got no problems with that at all. We transfer across the resource. They run their schools. They take on the responsibility for kids going to school. They want that responsibility. They want both parties to be held to account. They want to be a binding contract. I think this is a really important step for us to take. That, I think, is the seed for a future treaty with the Ndiliyarkwa Let people. And different places are looking at that and they want to take on similar models.
Before I let you go, Senator Lineholm has wants the federal parliament to consider legislation that will wind back the power of the Commonwealth to stop the territories from legislating around euthanasia. Do you welcome that move?
Absolutely. On Sunday, we're celebrating the 40th anniversary of self-government in the Northern Territory. What this bill would do would be allow territorians for themselves to make a decision on dying with dignity. That should be our decision. It should be the decision of territorians to make. I welcome it, and I'm hoping it passes, and I'm looking forward to a very respectful debate in the Northern Territory about what we want to do here.
Chief Minister of the Northern Territory, Michael Gunner, thank you very much for speaking with RN Drive.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Damien Carrick, and you're listening to RN Drive. If you have any comments on what you've just heard, you can text us on 0418 226 576.